Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
The U.S. House of Representatives votes overwhelmingly to order the Chinese owner of TikTok, a company called ByteDance, to sell the social media site or be blocked in the United States. Why did Republicans ignore Donald Trump on this issue? And how will the Senate handle the bill? Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot here on the Wall Street Journal Opinion Pages podcast, Potomac Watch. And I'm joined here by my colleagues, Alicia Finley and Kate Batchelder Odell. Welcome to you both. Let's start with this TikTok vote in the House, which was really a remarkable display of bipartisan support. Let's listen to Republican Congressman from Wisconsin, Mike Gallagher, who is the co-author of the legislation.
It takes no position at all on the content of speech, only foreign adversary control. Foreign adversary control of what is becoming the dominant news platform for Americans under 30. This is a common sense measure to protect our national security. I urge my colleagues to support this critical bipartisan legislation.
And boy, did they ever, 352 to 65. And the breakdown by party, 197 Republicans in favor, 15 no's. Democrats, 155 in favor, 50 no's. Even more interesting was who voted no. On the Democratic side, mostly the left, including the Squad, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Cori Bush of the Squad, and others. And on the right, it was mostly the Trumpian blow-it-all-up wing of the GOP, Matt Gaetz, Andy Biggs, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and a couple of others. There are a couple of honorable, I think, principled exceptions. Tom McClintock of California tends to be a libertarian on this subject. But very interesting vote, Alicia. What do you make of it?
We shouldn't ignore that. This was overwhelmingly, there was overwhelming support, which shows just how much TikTok, to some extent, has burned its bridges in Congress and how it's handled this, both by essentially sicking millions of TikTokers on Congress members. But I also think the opposition from the left is partly driven by the fact that a lot of left and progressives use TikTok to motivate their bases. They reach out to them. AOC is very active on TikTok. And actually, most TikTokers tend to be young, and that is the progressive base. On the right, my sources say it wasn't really necessarily just Trump, but Musk. Elon Musk actually came out against it. One reason is his quote-unquote First Amendment principles, which can kind of be wishy-washy. But he also thought the bill would actually could rope in X.com because it could be applied to any company that is under, or as Mike Gallagher said, foreign adversary control. If you actually read the fine print of the bill, it could not be applied to X.com. But if you recall last year, a couple of years ago, when he tried to buy X.com,
formerly known as Twitter, right?
Some of the left said that CFIUS should block the transaction because it was a foreign controlled, could be a foreign controlled entity because they had some investment from the Saudis. And so maybe Elon Musk is a little paranoid about that, but there is no way that the bill could be applied to X.com.
CFIUS is the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. It's a government cross-agency committee that reviews investment, foreign investment in the United States, and has been working with ByteDance to try to come to some kind of an agreement on its control of TikTok, to no avail. Kate, I think the credit here, and you've been following this for a while, the credit here has to go to both Mike Gallagher and his co-chair of the Special House China Committee, Raja Krishnamurti of Illinois. The two of them really worked this very long and carefully. And maybe surprisingly for a House Majority Chairman like Gallagher, brought in the Biden administration to consult and help with the analysis of the national security risks.
I think there's no question the spadework that Gallagher did with Democratic colleagues is the reason why the bill passed so overwhelmingly and even managed to take TikTok by surprise. I think there are a couple elements of that. I think One, I think the drafters learned from some of the mistakes that previous attempts to force a divestment from TikTok have fallen into. They perhaps overly broad, couldn't stand up in court for any number of reasons. And so in this case, the bill's drafters tried to come up with a narrow bill. And to Alicia's point about foreign adversary control, I mean, that's narrowly defined as China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran. Not the Saudis, as Alicia mentioned, not any number of other people. It's a narrow definition. And also, they worked proactively with the Justice Department to try to be sure that the Biden administration would actually sign something if the House did manage to pass it and cared about whether they got a result and not just a bill passed through the House. And I think that they also did a decent job trying to address the legal concerns about either a bill of attainder that was too targeted at one company or these kind of separate concerns about the First Amendment, even though the bill is focused on who owns the platform, not what Americans say or do on the platform. I also think one other thing that I would mention that I do think matters is the proponents of the bill have rooted their case in the national security reasons why ByteDance's ownership of TikTok is unacceptable, and they have not gone in to the cultural social media wars about how TikTok is bad for young minds, which I happen to think it is, but I think it is more compelling to focus narrowly on this national security case and build a coalition that way, as opposed to this broader case about it being bad for our young people, even though, like I said, it certainly is.
Well, if you had gone that cultural route, then you suddenly have to consider Facebook and a lot of other U.S.-owned social media sites, Instagram, for example, which we know has had some negative influences on the self-image of young girls in particular. I think that evidence is demonstrable. And I don't think they would have passed nothing because that's just too controversial and too broad. This narrows the framework. And it's pretty interesting on the national security side because I think my impression is that the classified briefings, Alicia, that were provided by the administration on this to members of Congress, we, of course, unfortunately, can't get access to those, try as we might. But the members were able to hear some of what the concerns are by national security officials. And the TikTok response has been, well, wait a minute, we have this project that to address your concerns, we have put our servers under control of a U.S. company, the big software firm Oracle. And that should arrest any concerns that the Chinese Communist Party can control this data. But that isn't very persuasive.
No, it's not persuasive for a number of reasons. First of all, the data under Chinese law, ByteDance is a Chinese company, and it must assist with any kind of surveillance or any kind of investigations that the Chinese government is embarking on, which means that if the Chinese government wants to get access to this data, even though it's on American soil, ByteDance must send the data back to China. And we know that the data is going back to China from various leaks in the company.
Different stories.
Different
that have appeared.
In numerous outlets, including the Journal. In fact, the ByteDance uses the data to train the algorithms in China. So
and the algorithms are controlled by Chinese engineers.
Right. And so Oracle supposedly has access to the algorithms or can view the algorithms. There have also been leaks that the ByteDance engineers are updating the algorithms so quickly that Oracle engineers really don't have any way of screening or even being able to tell what they're doing to the algorithms. And I think that it was apparent last fall when a video that Osama bin Laden's 2002 letter to America just went viral. And afterward, TikTok's response was, well, it only got a few million views, right? And some of our more pop culture ones get tens of millions. And then it eventually agreed to ban the hashtag. But this is basically how it's been behaving all along. Something will go viral or it'll get in trouble. And then it'll say, oh, no, you know, we didn't do anything. We're not at fault. There was a scandal. It was actually came out that they were spying on U.S. journalists who had access, you know, at BuzzFeed and Forbes, who had reported critically of the company and had an internal leaker. And ByteDance engineers had used the location data from the journalists to try to figure out who the leaker was. And again, TikTok said, well, it was just a few select employees and they're no longer with the company. Nothing to see here, folks. It kind of reminds me of the Chinese weather balloon. So it's just a weather balloon. We're not doing, you know, any kind of surveillance.
Just floated off course. Yeah. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, more on TikTok vote to what the prospects are in the Senate. And why did so many Republicans not listen to Donald Trump on the issue when we come back?
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with the Wall Street Journal here on Potomac Watch with Alicia Finley and Kate O'Dell. We're talking about the big vote in the House in support of a bill that would force the sale of TikTok from a Chinese company, ByteDance. I have to say, Kate, my own journey on this bill has taken a while. I was skeptical of this kind of legislation or anything that could force a sale for free market reasons. I don't like government to do that typically because we believe in freedom. We believe in adults making contracts and investments and so on. But over time, I became persuaded by just the compilation of disclosures about the degree to which the solutions TikTok offered, as Alicia described before, just really don't work. And you just can't trust the Chinese Communist Party, notwithstanding their assertions about their great intentions. We know, for example, that a Google AI official was recently arrested for spying for China. Not a good thing, not a good omen. And then just the degree to which the algorithms that TikTok uses seem to be skewed often to anti-American themes or anti-American interests. For example, you can't find as many easily get access to news about Hong Kong protests for democracy or forced labor in Xinjiang province with the Uyghurs. And you can find none of that, of course, in China. And Facebook is banned in China. Google doesn't operate in China. And yet the Chinese expect to have impunity in operating in the United States.
Right. I mean, the political management of capital in this manner is obviously a last resort and not something we would have preferred to have done. But I think it's a testament to, like you described, the extent of the disclosures and the risk and just the larger ideological nature of the Chinese Communist Party and how aggressively they are trying to influence and surveil the United States in various ways to influence our society in directions they prefer. I mean, an example I used on this podcast is one concern about TikTok has been, you know, if there's a crisis in the Pacific and the Chinese Communist Party is able to use TikTok to gin up Americans to turn Congress in their favor, to stay out, to not bother and intervene in a Pacific crisis. There are real risks here that I think are the reasons that eventually Congress was forced to act. And it's better that they acted in this narrowly tailored fashion after several iterations and attempts to come up with a solution.
So, big vote. What do we expect to happen here in the Senate? Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, issued a statement saying briefly, just one sentence, saying the Senate will review the House bill, but no promises on how it will consider it or when. There are some vocal opponents of the House bill, namely Rand Paul, the Republican from Kentucky, Libertarian. Some others have expressed at least some reservations, perhaps, about the bill. They said they'll review it, which is fair enough. What do you think, Alicia?
Well, I think the Democrats are seriously worried about the political implications. One, they do want to use TikTok. You saw that Joe Biden finally got a TikTok account.
But he says he'll sign this bill.
Right. He said he'd sign it, but he actually hasn't really used the bully pulpit in supporting it.
But does he use the bully pulpit on
for anything? Well, for electric vehicles, he certainly does.
Okay.
I think he's a little, in his campaign staff, is a little bit ambivalent about it, in part because they know, one, it'll anger some their progressive base. And two, they do plan to use it to target voters and motivate them to come out in November. And so maybe the Senate will consider it, and maybe they'll consider it after the election. On the right, my sources say that most senators are pretty supportive of it. There is the Rand Paul, who makes a kind of a strange First Amendment argument that this is silencing American users. Beginning, as Mike Gallagher mentioned, it doesn't really discriminate point on viewpoint or content. It's just based on the control of the Chinese company, and they can divest, and ByteDance can divest.
This isn't a viewpoint control bill at all.
No, and in fact, I would argue it's just the opposite in terms of that the Chinese government right now can and is probably suppressing different speech, American speech, and is essentially doing what the Biden administration was found to have been doing with the COVID lockdowns and all that, suppressing different viewpoints, the conservative viewpoints.
Lobbying some of the platform.
We would never know, or we can't see what's going on behind the scenes in China and what their engineers are doing. Because first of all, the First Amendment doesn't apply to the Chinese government. And second of all, you can't sue the Chinese government for that. So you'd never be able to get to legal discovery and to actually show all this. But for conservatives who are concerned about free speech, I think this is actually a bill that would promote free speech.
All right, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, more on the vote in the House on TikTok.
Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI.
Don't forget, you can reach the latest episode of Potomac Watch anytime. Just ask your smart speaker. Play the Opinion Potomac Watch podcast. That is, play the Opinion Potomac Watch podcast.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with Alicia Finley and Kate O'Dell. We're talking about the big house vote on a bill on TikTok. Kate, let's take up the Donald Trump question. Donald Trump, of course, and his administration famously tried to force ByteDance to divest itself of TikTok. Some buyers were even entertained for that, including, I think, Oracle was one of the names that was mentioned, the U.S. giant software firm. But that ran aground in the courts. So now, as he's running for re-election, and President Biden has said he would sign this bipartisan House bill, Donald Trump says, oh, no. I like TikTok. A lot of Americans like TikTok. The question becomes, what accounts for the big Trump switcheroo here? And some people say it's related to campaign donations from Jeff Yass, who's a big investor. He's generally a great source for good, a Republican donor, huge supporter of school choice, Susquehanna Capital owner. But he's also a big investor in TikTok and has opposed this legislation. I don't have any evidence that that is in fact the case, but others suggest that this is all about the youth vote and Trump just trying to cater to young people and take some of those voters away from Biden. What do you think?
Well, okay, so the Trumpologists will tell you that if you follow Trump's remarks closely, such as what he said about TikTok earlier this week on Squawk Box on CNBC, they're just merely incomprehensible and that he is not necessarily going to go at this bill with the same ferocity that he did, for instance, like the border deal, which he, you know, set out to kill. But I think there are a couple things that are driving his turn against the deal. I mean, one is just pure politics that, you know, he perhaps doesn't want Biden to get credit for this after he tried to do it. I do think that the American investors in TikTok who don't want it banned is having some effect. But I also have seen just an odd outbreak of moral equivalence on the right that I think there's some capitalizing on American distaste for big tech generally and some real false equivalence between Facebook and the Chinese Communist Party. And so I do think there is some concern that an element of the right thinks Facebook is just as bad as, again, a foreign adversary who controls a major platform.
Trump was explicit on the point, Kate. He said, if you block TikTok in the United States, then the big winner will be Meta, which is Facebook's owner. And Meta is an enemy of the people or something to the equivalent of that. And I guess that goes back to the fact that Meta blocked Trump after the January 6, 2021 riot. And the Zuckerbucks, named after the CEO of Facebook, had spent a lot of money on vote registration in swing states. And Trump still blames him for his defeat.
Yeah, but I think we should dispense with that equivalence pretty quickly. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg...
I'm not saying there's any equivalence. Don't get me wrong. I know. I'm just saying that Trump has said that explicitly.
Trump says that, but I mean, Mark Zuckerberg, again, I'm concerned that the right has lost its ability to make these distinctions in some corners, because Mark Zuckerberg doesn't have a rocket force. He's not, like the Chinese Communist Party amassing military power to use against the United States. I mean, it's surprising to me that this has gained so much traction, and it has in certain corners been presented as, you know, a project of the deep state and the intel community to fool everybody. And it does risk that the United States will struggle to rally behind a common security purpose.
Yeah, this gets to some of the incoherence that we see intellectually on the right, Alicia. There's no question. China said in reaction to the House vote, well, this could redound to the detriment of the United States, could boomerang on the United States, without, I guess, explaining how it would do that. But of course, if the Chinese really wanted to reduce the suspicion in the United States about what China's up to, maybe stop recruiting spies at Google AI. Maybe stop getting into my emails, just to be personal about it. Maybe don't block U.S. platforms in China. I mean, there are alternatives here.
Right. Repeal their 2017, and then actually they amended it again, 2021 law that requires private companies in China basically do the bidding of the Chinese Communist Party. I mean, that is actually the issue here. There is a concern that they will retaliate against American companies for this. You saw that after Biden administration imposed export controls on U.S. chips. Well, what did they do? Retaliate against Micron Technologies, and they had a major presence in China. And so China basically passed law and said, for national security reasons, Micron chips will not be allowed in critical infrastructure. And so the Chinese do have a history of retaliating against companies doing business in the country. And I think we probably can expect that. But U.S. businesses are already starting to try to get out of China for these very reasons.
Diversify
their supply chains, but also just even shift IP out of the country because they are seeing these risks.
All right. This is a fascinating turn of events. Congress doesn't do a hell of a lot these days. And so this House vote was a real anomaly and suggests, I think, large sentiment in Congress of concern for China and TikTok and the implications of its influence on American life. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Alicia. We're here every day on Potomac Watch. So please join us tomorrow and every day. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Charles Schwab. Decisions made in Washington can affect your portfolio every day. But what policy changes should investors be watching? Washington Wise is an original podcast for investors from Charles Schwab that unpacks the stories making news in Washington and how they may affect your finances and portfolio. Listen at schwab.com/WashingtonWise.